This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends talk about the Disney parks, the Disney races, and whatever else comes to mind. I am your host, Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Dr. Wait, what were we going to Dr. S? That's your new name?
What am I, like a Marvel villain or something?
No. Well, that's what we said last episode. I'm going to introduce you as Dr. S.
That's what I sign my emails with for my students when I'm being super lazy. Wow. Hey, Chris, you need to get a Peloton.
Listen, going under.
I know. But listen. Yesterday I did the Encanto ride. Oh. It was so fun. They played two versions of Bruno, the Spanish version and the English version. And you know who I think was on the ride with me?
Who?
Bob Chapek.
He was in the class at the time?
I think it was Bob Chapek.
There's a dollar sign. Ching, ching. Well, doing our soundboard today is our Dean of Disney, Mr. Mike Scopa.
Hi, Chris. Did you know that Bob Chapek got a $28 million raise?
Every time you say his name, do you say Bob Chapek? Oh, my God. I don't know if everybody can hear it. It's just very slight, but it is the let's see. Put it right at the microphone. Yeah, it's still a little light, but it's definitely the cha-ching, cha-ching. Oh, yeah, it's getting there.
Anyways.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's
that was a whole day of planning to do that to you, Chris.
Well, speaking of Bob, so it was funny because people had asked me, they listened to the episode and I forgot to mention the fact that I did see that sign. And I think you guys sent me a picture of the person saying you're running Disney better than Bob Chapek, which is hysterical to see that it was in the parks, but oh, sorry. Cha-ching. Oh my God. When I sound edit this thing, I'm going to have to throw that sound effect in like over and over again, or I'm just going to be lazy and not do it at all.
Well, that's what we were talking about. Mike said, you know what I should have Chris do? I should ask him to put that every time we say his name. And I said, no, let's do it and not tell Chris.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So Mike was looking all day long for the sound effects.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So, but on this episode, last week we talked about the races that I was in, and after the races, we stayed for another 5 or 6 days. So we're going to discuss that a little bit. I will say from the get-go, we arrived early, I think if I mentioned last time. And so Friday was a free day because we were there early. And so we went to the expo. And then I'm going to give you a report because we did dinner every single night except for two that we did sort of lunches in place of dinners. Here's a hidden gem. Our first night there, Friday night, we went to Trattoria Al Forno on Boardwalk. Mike, I don't know. Have you tried the restaurant?
Yes, I tried it. I gave it two chances several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in both cases, strike one and strike two. So
really?
But
I don't even remember.
Having said that,
it was the Team Maliers thing, right?
I think it was once, and then I think we went again. Yeah. But having said that, I understand that there are historical references that I can go back and mention regarding some restaurants that just started off to be not that good and turned a corner. So I haven't been there in a couple of years, so perhaps it's better.
I will say, so we were trying to like be good and we were eating. I ordered stupidly, not stupidly, but just sort of plainly. I ordered.
Wait a second. $85 drink thing again.
Oh, don't start. I ordered a grilled chicken and pasta with just a little bit of oil in it. Cause we were going to be running the next morning. It was, believe it or not, fabulous. Like the grilled, like the way they grilled the chicken with the, whatever they put on it was amazing. Like my wife and I, Audrey, were just, we were like, this is like what we've been missing out. This is wonderful. My son had a pizza. He was in heaven. He ate. Now, for my kids, they don't eat much, but it, like, it was wonderful. I want to tell you, maybe you should give it another try the next time you go. I think it was it's a hidden gem that maybe they are stepping up their game. I know, Mike, you're a tough audience, being the Italian. I know it. But it sounds like they make their pasta fresh in-house. And I felt like it was one of the best meals I had on property when we were down there.
And you can see the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ate there when it was... I forget the name of this.
Catcora's, and then before that was something else.
Yeah, I met Catcora there. That's when she said, "My father invented the Greek salad." And I said, no, he didn't.
So, Chris, didn't you have a party of 10?
I have a party of 10. Well, there was a group of us that were there.
Okay.
But we were not together all the time. Like, we were there for, like, other little things, but for dinner, we kind of separated. Actually, my two nieces and my niece's significant other had dinner at the same restaurant as we were there. Like, just, they arrived a little later. Do you hear my phone going off? Do you hear that buzzing? Sorry.
Yes.
It's my niece calling. So they actually ate. Doing the same thing, carving up for the next day and stuff. So it was just the four of us. I think Jeremy did a plate of pasta. Justin did his pizza. And we absolutely love. I mean, it was, when I say like it was one of our better meals, like we were like, we're going to do, like, as we've gone along, we've always sort of done this thing where we say, this is the keeper, or like, you know, we used to go to, what's the place where you swap wives? Narcusi's.
Ooh, old reference.
Wow, that's
very
a reference
nice,
for the old timers.
Nice.
And we found that
find that episode.
Yeah, right. We found that the food there was not up to the price that we did that previous years before a race. We did a grilled chicken and some pasta or something like that, and it cost us $35 for like a piece of grilled chicken. Like literally, that's all we got, and it wasn't that good. I felt like this place was better. So,
and you can walk there from your hotel. You don't have to get on a bus.
For us, yeah, we're at the yacht club, so it was a great situation. And then we ran the half. I told the story about Oga's Cantina, and then we did dinner at Mama Melrose. We were doing another pasta stop. Again, you know. It's not fancy. I know it's kind of kitschy and stuff like that, but the food was great. We enjoyed ourselves. It was a wonderful experience. Like I said, we did some time in Hollywood Studios. We got there late because of the races and changing and stuff. And really the only attraction we were able to get on was Star Tours because it was like 10 minutes. Nothing. The Millennium Falcon ride, whatever it's called, was down, so it wasn't even running.
Even when it's running, it's down, I think.
No, that's the opinion, right? It's not the best of best rides, but
so your whole park day was going to one restaurant and one attraction after the race.
After the race, the whole family decided to go to Hollywood Studios because we figured, and I felt so bad for my extended family because they I wanted them to go enjoy themselves because they're coming to see us race, but they were done, like by the half marathon being done, I wanted them to go on, but they stuck around to watch us for the half marathon, so they couldn't go to the parks and get their fast passes or go, you know, do whatever they were going to do.
No more fast passes.
Well, you know what I mean, like the Genie Plus, or, you know, I don't even think they wanted to do it, but so we literally walked around the park doing nothing, going on no attraction, because everything was like 90 minutes, 45 to 90 minutes. The only ride that was at least acceptable was Star Tours. And so we did that. And then, like I said, we left and we did Mama Melrose for dinner. And then they went off and did their thing. So, and then the next morning we did the race. And then I want to say we didn't do any park. We kind of recovered a bit. We did a little bit of Epcot, and then we met our good friend Becky Mankin of MEI Mouse Fan Travel, not a sponsor, for dinner at Teppanito, which was wonderful as always. It was funny. A couple of years ago, we had gone. Our tradition is to go to Teppanito after the marathon. And a couple of years ago, we did the same thing. We went to Teppanito. We had the same chef. The only reason I know that we had the same chef is because he did this Mickey Mouse in onions on the grill. And I was like, that's really familiar. So I took a picture. And when I came home, I compared the two pictures that I took, and with the same gentleman, the same chef. So we had the same guy. But it was wonderful. It was really good. And obviously the company was wonderful. But that was the end of our marathon. And then we took off to the next day. God, now I'm trying to remember where I went after. And I'm going to go by our pictures. Like, basically, I'm going to look at the pictures I sent you.
Did the crowd disperse after that?
I want to say, I guess that maybe we should do like sort of the general takes on things. I felt like the parks were really crowded. We thought like give it after Monday, it would die off. We thought everybody would head home after the races. Did not happen. There were still a lot of people in the parks all through the week. And I think as we go through it, we could do this. I guess we could do this now as we go through it. So we did the Magic Kingdom on Monday, and we got there fairly early. I'm not going to say super early. The kids were like done. We were done. Like, and we were not looking to rush in. And I think that for us, that's the key. If you're going to go to the parks, if you're going to go down there, it's that old rule that we always used to talk about, which is get in there early. Like, race through the park, get through all the attractions, and then get out. Because we got in late enough that it was just busy enough that by the time we were in, the attractions were just unmanageable, unless you had Genie Plus. But even that was difficult. My wife had made – I haven't told you guys this one. My wife made – I told her what was going on with Genie Plus and with the Lightning Lane, the a la carte choices. And she said, no way in hell are we doing that. I'm not giving them any more of our money. Like, this is ridiculous. We paid all this money. I'm not going to give them more just to do the attractions we used to get on in no time. And it bit us in the butt for most of the vacation. We decided the boys wanted to go on Space Mountain. We did. I think there was like a 35-minute wait for Buzz, which when we got in there. So we went in and waited on that line. And I felt like it was only like a 15 or 20-minute wait. So we were like hopeful, like, oh, maybe these waits are not what they're listed to be. Maybe they're playing games with people. So we decided to head over to I think Buzz was listed for 45, got in under 15. And then we said, well, screw this. We're going to go try Space Mountain. And we got over there. And I think the wait was supposed to be like an hour, and we wound up waiting like almost like an hour and 15 minutes to get through. And I sent you a picture of because they kept a lot of people outside, and you kind of barrel through that main walkway up to the main switchback where they used to, like, you know, that was the way it used to be. You go in and you hit the switchback. So the walkthrough was really quick, and then I walked in and the switchback was packed with people. And so I sent a picture, and I think you guys sent me a picture of like a hazmat suit or something like that. Michelle sent me like a little, like, and a big giant Purell picture and stuff like that. So I was like, oh dear Lord. And it was a very long wait. The one criticism, like, so Marvel, DC's, oh my God, I can't even get the right thing. Disney's policy was you can go without a mask outside, but you have to wear a mask inside at all times. And it was very haphazard in how much it was enforced. So in the case of Space Mountain, tons of people were wearing it below their nose as chin straps while they were on, and there was nobody there to correct them. There was nobody there to stop them. And it was kind of frustrating because you're walking through there going, I'm trying to be careful. Now, we did really well. We're boosted. We're, you know, doing well. You know, we thought with my son being an EMT, at some point he was going to get it. He never got it, knock wood. And it was fun, kind of frustrating, though, to kind of go in there and see such lackadaisical attitudes from most people. Later in the week.
I'm surprised there aren't fights breaking out. People who are pretty upset.
No, nobody. Again, you know, we would get frustrated. Well, I went into this trip. I kind of said, I'm going to try to enjoy myself, and I'm purposely not going to get frustrated by other people. For the most part, I did do that. I said to my kids, we're not going to, like, if these people are going to be silly and not care about their health or anybody else's, there's nothing I can do, but we're going to wear our masks when we need to. We wore them indoors. We wore them if we were walking through large crowds outdoors. We tried to be careful about what we did. So in this case, you know, it was sort of like there was nobody there. Later in the week, I think I told you this story. We had gone on Soarin' and gotten off and decided we were going to go on to Living with the Land. It's a dorky ride, but I enjoy it. It's
love that ride.
I know. It's like
the People Mover.
And I was going to say, like, Small World.
Yeah. Can't get enough of it.
Love it. But there was a family in front of us. The father, he was wearing the camo bucket hat and in the backpack with the black flag on it. And then there were like three kids and a wife, and it was two boys, a girl, and they were just constantly taking their masks down in the queue. And there was a cast member there, older woman, probably worrying about her own health constantly. Like every time they came by her would be like, please put your mask back up. Please put your masks on. And they put them back on and blah, whatever. And then we got on the ride, and the minute the boat took off and we went in that first tunnel, everybody's mask came off, even though it's the rules are. And so there was nobody there to enforce it. We used to laugh, like, there's cameras everywhere at Disney. You would have thought they would have spotted them and said, you need to leave the park. Nobody did it. Like, if at that point I would have said, you're compromising the health and safety of everyone here. You people need to leave.
I think what they should do, Chris, in cases like that, is they should stop the ride, make an announcement, and say, we're not going to continue with the ride until everyone complies. You know, they sometimes stop rides when people who are in need of help getting on rides, you know, they hold the rides up. And if something happens, they're watching people all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it would be, you know, all they need to do is to do that a few times and people will feel peer pressure and the problem goes away.
I always remember on Pirates, they used to always do that with flash photography. If somebody was to take a minute, flash photography. But they didn't do it for the whole time I was there, nobody was ever called out. Like that one time was the one time I actually saw a cast member call them out and they still were like, you know, screw you. I don't care about this. I'm going to do what I want to do. But again, that was the only time that I really got frustrated, because when we got on the boat, they were like right in front of us. So like, obviously as the boat moves forward, they're breathing in and out and it's coming back right directly on me.
And you're stuck. You're really stuck.
Yeah. I can't get off the boat. I can't like just jump out and say like, I've had enough. You know, and they knew what they were doing, because the minute we were coming in to the end of it, they all quickly put their masks up to act like they had it on the whole time. So that was frustrating. But anyway, so the first day. So I want to go through to the problems I'm having with Genie Plus. Besides my wife saying I'm not doing this anymore, I took screen grabs. I will tell you, so it was 11:27 in the morning on a Monday. And we did not get any Genie Pluses. We did not get any Lightning Lanes. But I will tell you the standby lines.
You didn't get up at 7 o'clock?
We didn't get up at 7 o'clock, and then my wife was just not going to have it. Like, she's like, I'm not paying extra. We've already paid, you know, we're paying $500-$600 a night for a hotel. We're paying $2,000 or however much it is per 100. And what was it like one? What's the cost for the annual passes per person? We're
DVC, so it's different.
Yeah. It's at least like $1,500 or $1,400 or whatever. You know, we paid for car service. We paid for airfare. We paid all this money. And it's like, we get here. We paid all this money to get in. And now you're going to charge me a little bit more to get on these rides. My wife was like, I'm not doing it. I don't care. We've been on all these rides a billion times. We're not doing it. So we were fine with it. It was like, we'll go on what we feel like going on and we'll wait for what we feel like waiting. But I sent you the wait time. So it's 11:27 on a Monday. So take this as what you will. But so Astro Orbiter was 60 minutes wait. The Barnstormer was 30 minutes. And if you wanted the Dizzy Genie, it was a 12:05. Big Thunder, 45 minutes. And if you wanted to get a Genie Plus, it was 3:45. Let's see. Buzz Lightyear, at that point, we had already gotten off. We went on Space Mountain. It was 50 minutes standby. 12:25 was the callback. Again, remember, we're at 11:27. Dumbo was 30 minutes or 11:50 Genie Plus. Haunted Mansion, which was an hour. Or you could go back at 2:30 if you got Genie Plus. Small World was 45 or 110 if you had Disney Plus. Jungle Cruise was an hour or 5:30 if you had Genie Plus.
Oh my God.
The Tea Party was 25 or 11:30. So like it was like you could just jump on. Aladdin, 35 minutes or 12:20. Winnie the Pooh was 45 minutes or 12:45 if you had Genie Plus.
So Chris,
yeah,
I'm going in March. Mm-hmm. What would your advice be?
Boy, you know, that's the problem. The problem with Genie Plus is it's sort of like the old Fast Pass system where you either book early and get in early or wait, whatever that wait time is. What did they say it was? Like, it's like a certain like wait time. If something's not available, or if you book like Rise of the Resistance and it's 4:30, you have to wait like what, an hour? Or I don't know what the wait time is.
Right. I think it's so, hours. And you have to get up at 7 a.m. on right. your vacation to maybe
right. yeah. just get on there.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go through and explain further as we go along. I know this is going to be a long episode, but you know, it depends on what kind of trip you want. If you want to get through and see all the attractions, number one, get up early. Like, just decide that you're going to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock and get up at 6 o'clock, get on a bus, and get to the parks before rope drop, and then barrel through everything. But even that, you know, even with early magic hours, like for, you know, we did early magic hours for Epcot. We were guests of a, you know, a hotel there. And so we ran to Epcot early before the park opens. The park was supposed to open at 9. 8:30 was the let-in time. We got there at 8:15. By the time we got through everything and in, we wanted to get to Remy. We wanted to get to Ratatouille. By the time we got there and before the park had actually opened, it was an hour wait. So we got
there. Say that again.
So before the park opened at 8:45, we got to Ratatouille and it was an hour wait from where we were. So before the park even opened, we were just the guests of hotels, got in there early. We got to extra early hours, whatever they call it now, magic hours. We got in, and by the time we walked up there, and it wasn't like we were meandering. We just barreled over there.
Yeah. It's not that far from the International Gateway.
No, it was literally just around the bridge. We just go in around, and it was an hour wait, and we just went, that's it, we're done, and we walked away. It catches you. You know, it's so different now than what we're used to in the past. Like, I used to know how to navigate the parks. I used to know the tricks and the secrets and you know, how you work the fast passes and how you work the system and how you beat the crowds. And we weren't able to do it this time. Now, granted, we didn't do it by paying. You know, we just tried to beat it by, I mean, we did do Rise of the Resistance. We got there. My wife and I made sure we got up early one morning. And we walked straight up to, because we're at Yacht Club, you could walk up there. We walked straight up there. We got there early, walked in, walked straight, got online. We still had a 40-minute wait to get on Rise of the Resistance, early magic hours. Our sons got up later. They just couldn't get up. Like, it was like we were up at 6 o'clock in the morning and we were, you know, they were just exhausted. And so they met us up there and it was just perfect. We just got to the point where we were about to go indoors and they arrived and they jumped in line with us and we walked in. But it was still like, by the time they got in there, it was still another 20 minutes before we even got onto the ride. And that's first thing in the morning before everybody got there. So if you're going in March, if you want to do all the rides, it's get in there early or pay the money. And that's the problem. Like, there's no way around it. Like, and I think they Disney stands to do better by having the wait times longer, right? Because if the wait times are longer, more people are going to be paying for the Genie Plus, right? Because people are going to get frustrated and be like, I can't get on anything. Everything's an hour wait. By the time you get through everything, you know, you've gone through four rides and you've waited 4 hours. You know, half your day is gone.
The other thing, Chris, is that people would have to make a decision. Are we going to get up early? And does that mean we sacrifice staying up for any of the nighttime spectaculars? Or do we, you know, burn the candle at both ends and then think about, well, we'll go to the fireworks. We'll see Harmonious the night before, and then we'll go to the studios first thing in the morning and we're napping at noon or something like that.
So what's changed? Now, I know there are no downtimes anymore, but are the number of people going just so exponentially higher that we can never have the experience that we all were lucky enough to have for so many years?
Well, and the two rides that Chris just mentioned, they're relatively new. So
I guess
it's going to be an interest. And you have to remember that people have not been to the parks in a while.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who Chris encountered, and a lot of the people who, if we go this year or anyone goes this year, they're going to see people who haven't been to the parks in 2-3 years. So they're all going to be, you know, drooling and, you know, chomping at the bit to go see the attractions.
But it's not just the attractions. It's like every photo that we see, and Chris, I don't know if it was the same for you, but every photo just walking around is just shoulder to shoulder people.
Yeah, no, it was a lot. Like I said, I didn't see any drop off, which I thought there was. We had assumed after the marathon weekend that it would drop off. Everybody's back at school. Everybody's done with the marathon. We're going to just barrel through everything. And maybe it happened the week after we left. I don't know. But the week that we were there, it was, like I said, like look at these numbers. At 11:30 in the morning, Peter Pan was 90 minutes. If you wanted to do the Genie Plus, it was 3:25 at that point. Pirates, I used to get on in 15 minutes all the time. Like, it was like you would get the fast pass at Splash Mountain and head over to Pirates, go on Pirates because it's a 15-minute wait, go through it, come back, and you could go on Splash Mountain. It was like sort of like the wonderful little thing. Pirates is 50 or 145. Let's see.
The other thing is that when we talked about the race numbers last week, they were cut in half. So yeah, you had 50% of the normal race participants. So
yeah,
where did all these people come from?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the thing is,
they're all coming back.
You had a good time.
Yes, I will say offhand, we were not looking to hit all the, we sort of knew we were not going to hit everything all the time. And we've done it so many times. Our kids are sort of done. We've seen all the rides. Like, so we could go around and just kind of meander and check things out, go shopping or do whatever. And so we weren't really affected. I had a wonderful, let me just say, like, we had a wonderful time, but we went into this, and you were saying, what am I going to do in March? We went into this kind of going, we're not going to race to all the attractions. This is not, we've done it so many times. We know, I wanted to see Ratatouille. We went on it a couple of times. It was great. We did Rise of the Resistance once, which is what I wanted to do. So we did, we enjoyed our trip because we had the thought going in that this is what we wanted. We wanted to just sort of relax, go see a few things, wine, cheese boards. Like, my wife and I went for lunch down at Disney Springs. We went to, is it Charlie's Wine?
Wine Bar George.
George, Charlie's, whatever. Wine.
That was close.
Close, Charlie, George, all the same. It was wonderful. Like, yeah. That was one of my favorite moments. But I mean, yeah. Obviously just sitting and talking to my wife for, you know, an hour and a half uninterrupted was a joy. And, you know, and the food and the wine was wonderful. But that's what we were looking for.
Also George.
George was great. But I will say, like, you know, but that's what we went into. So if you're going with the thought of relaxing and not really racing around and getting on all the attractions, then, you know, this is the way to go. But I mean, like I said, Seven Dwarfs at 11:30, it was 90 minutes. And all, now you have to buy the Lightning Lane, gone already by 11:30. Space Mountain was 65 minutes and 12:40. Tomorrowland Speedway was 30 minutes, which I think, no, we passed by because the kids are like, I drive a real car. I don't need to do Speedway anymore.
I drive an ambulance.
Yeah, yeah. The People Mover was 35 minutes. When have you ever seen the People Mover? 35 minutes? Wow. Right? Here's the other one. We used to go to Journey of the Little Mermaid because it was always 5 minutes wait. Even that one is at 35 minutes now. Like, everything is just, you know, just a little bit more, not really what we're looking for. That night we did Via Napoli, and I sent you a picture. It was interesting. They were only taking reservations, so they were turning people away, but the restaurant was not filled up. So I don't know what the... It's so weird. It's so random. Everything is random. I couldn't figure it out.
So, Chris, one time, Mike Scabetta, the name from the past, and I
know Michael.
We had lunch at the Yacht Club. And if Mike's listening, he'll remember that we were eating at Captain's, is it called Captain's Corner?
Captain's Grill.
Captain's Grill. I forget. Was it changed now? I forget what it is now. Mm. Anyways, we noticed that there were people, there were guests who came up to the podium and they wanted to, you know, they wanted to do a walk up and they were turned away. And we weren't sure why. And then we asked one of the servers and we were told that Disney has a very strict requirement that says that each server in each of their restaurants is allowed to serve no more than, I think it's 10 guests. And the quality of the service drops off tremendously after 10. So on that particular day, they did not have all their servers. So as much as there were empty tables,
right,
they could not fill all of them because they may have had, let's say they had six servers. That meant that only 60 people could be eating at any time in that restaurant. So that could very well have been the reason why.
Do you think that's what it is now? Do you think now there's like a lack of
well, we know
cast members?
Everywhere we see, there's people, companies, stores, they don't have enough staff. Michelle had mentioned today something about a Walgreens.
Yeah,
nearby.
My best friend in Denver had to wait 3 or 4 days for her medication, and she was calling, and they said, we just don't have enough people to work at the store.
Wow.
And what was
that
other,
could be
what
the
was
issue.
The other instance where there wasn't, a good friend of ours you know, his friend has a pizza shop. He works with me at the university. He said, I had to go work at my brother's pizza shop because he can't hire people. Yeah. So I'm working at the pizza shop and here. So
I wonder if that's the case. I wonder if that's why, you know, they would turn people away and still, because I sent you a picture. It was weird because we were waiting online and people walked up and said, we'd like to sit down. And they were like, nope, we're only taking reservations tonight. And then I sent you a picture and it was like half the restaurant was empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was interesting. So here's the other. So the next day, this is going to be a long episode. So hang in there, folks. Michelle's going to be asleep by the end of this episode. So here's the trick. So the next morning, we had scheduled Space 220 because it's a new restaurant. My sons were, I showed them what it was going to look like, what it was, the thought behind it. They were all in. The day before, so while we're walking around Magic Kingdom, they're looking at the information about Space 220. And I don't, a lot of people may not realize this, but it is a set priced meal. You get an appetizer, a main course, and then a dessert. It's like $80.
In an $85 drink tray?
No, that's only at...
I'm just teasing.
I know. Everybody's going to bust my chops about this.
$80 a person for that.
A person for the meal. So you have to know ahead of time if you're going to do this, that it's going to cost you at least, if you're the party of four, it's like $320 plus tip, which is crazy, right?
You get $400 with drinks, yeah.
Even with drinks. So, we were trying to figure out what to do. We had the reservation and we decided to pull the trigger and cancel the reservation. And then this is the trick we learned. So the restaurant opens at 11:30 for lunch. Now for us, like our boys are not going to eat an appetizer, a main course and a dessert. Like they're just not going to do it. We were going to do it. And it was just a waste of money. Like some people, it may be perfect. It may be great. This is exactly what you need. What we wound up doing is at 10:45, we arrived at the restaurant and stood online for the 11:30 opening. We were told by the cast member there that the first 10 people, not 10 parties, 10 people could go in and sit at the bar without a wait. Anybody after that would be an hour wait. Like if you're 11, 12 and 13, you're waiting an hour at least. So at 11:30, you're going to wait an hour to get in to sit down. Or you could pay the $80 and get in and sit down. We decided, so my wife and I just stood online, waited there. Our sons, we let them walk. They actually went on like the single rider line at Test Track. They went on something else too. I don't remember where they went, but they walked around. They came back at like quarter after 11. 11:30, they opened up. We were the first people in. I sent you a picture. There was nobody else in there. Sat at the bar. They give you a bar menu, which is pretty similar to the restaurant menu. We ordered some, I think I ordered some sliders and my family ordered different little things. And then we ordered drinks. I want to say we paid probably $180 tip included for the experience. You know, you do the whole, you're rising up and you watch the little video screen, you're rising up through the atmosphere into space. You walk in, you get the experience of the screens where it looks like you're above the earth, but you're not paying $400,
$500. Ooh, very smart.
And we enjoyed it so much. Our bartender was amazing. He had special drinks. So if you're going, if there's a bartender named Christopher, he's got specialty drinks. We ordered shots that had like, edible glitter. So it looked like stars in your glass. The food was perfect for lunchtime. So if you want to go there and avoid that money, I would definitely say, but you have to be there at 10:45 and you have to be willing to wait 45 minutes online just doing nothing. I literally talked with the cast member for like 40 minutes talking about Marvel and Disney and, you know, because they're building right across the way. They're building the new Guardians of the Galaxy coaster. And if you walk through, you can actually see part of it through the walkway. So that was good. What else did we do? And then we sort of did Epcot. Like I said, I think we probably walked on and got mad at whoever for doing that. I don't want to, I guess we should just, I should just go through all the restaurants we went through. I don't know. I don't even remember what I did anymore. We did, let's see, the typical stuff. We did Via Napoli. We did 220. We did La Cellier for lunch because we don't want to, nobody's eating that much. So it was, but it was wonderful. What else did we do? We did, we did Beaches and Cream, which was really good. Everybody loved the tater tots. I did my No Way Jose. Wonderful. We did the Boathouse on our final night, which was a really wonderful night. For the most part, like I said, we really enjoyed ourselves. I think this is getting really long, so I don't want to like keep us too long. But I felt like it was a really nice vacation because we weren't looking to hit everything all the time. I will say I was annoyed with Genie Plus. I was annoyed with the Lightning Lane stuff. I was annoyed with the idea that by 11 o'clock, everything you wanted to go on was at least an hour. But, we weren't doing that. And I realized on this trip anyway, that we're sort of, my kids are done with the Disney full-fledged park visit stuff. So in the future, here's, you know what, we'll sort of end it here. This is the fun part. We're going to probably work out our annual pass this year. And I was telling my wife, I was like, okay, maybe we'll do like a long weekend. Maybe after the kids get out of school, we'll all go down for a couple of days. We'll enjoy a quick trip down there and just be silly. My wife the other day comes to me and says, maybe we should renew our annual passes. And I went, wait, what? Because she's been the one who said, no, we're done. We're done. We're done. We had such a good time at the races that we want to do them again next year and maybe more. So, if we're going at least for a few days in January, we might want to renew our passes. So I will give you that once we decide one way or the other. We have until probably, I think, until August to decide. We may be renewing. I thought we were out because my wife was like, I'm done. They're not getting any more of my money. And I will say I am very disappointed. We did not go on that many rides and attractions in this trip, and it was frustrating and annoying. I can't talk about the pandemic moving forward just because it'll probably, we'll be doing much better, knock wood, after this, but I can't complain about the people being difficult and not doing what they were supposed to do. But I will say that I felt like I don't want to spend an additional, like, I'm already spending so much money to go there. And, I am your Disney. I am your customer. I'm in your book about the 50th anniversary of Disney World. Like, I am your biggest fan. Like, I am the guy that is speaking, and I love that place. But the fact that if I walk in at 10 o'clock, I can't get on a ride that's not going to make me wait for at least an hour, 45 minutes.
Any ride.
Like even the ones we used to go, I'll go on it while we wait for my fast pass. Like, they've got to fix this system. It's not working right. And I think Mike sent me an article today. It was a posting on, I don't know if it was Reddit Did you remember that article?
It was a link from WDW News or something to a Reddit post where the person kind of just broke down their whole trip.
Another person, and, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Inside the Magic, maybe?
It was very sad. Ricky's very, very sad. Yeah. Just hit me really hard because the person just said, just what you said, Chris.
You know?
You're a person, Disney, and I just don't want to do it. And so many people piled on and said, you know, I'm out. I'm out for a while.
You know, you ever heard the old adage that if you have... if you have X number of people complaining, that's only 10% of the actual true numbers who are complaining. Mm. Not everybody voices their complaints. And I think that there were a lot of people who read that article. We'll give it a plug. It's on Inside the Magic. And they're saying, yeah, I'm feeling the same way. It's really sad. I think that the magic is slipping away and it's being replaced by dollar signs. It's no longer Mickey Mouse, it's Scrooge McDuck. Mm. And Chris and Michelle, I keep, you know, shaking my head, and I just don't understand the crowds going back. I really think that there are a lot of people going for the first time and they don't realize what it was like years ago. I don't understand what's going on. Chris, you sent an article prior to that about the park reservation system may be around for who knows how long. And to this day, I have no clue in my head as to why they continue it. I mean, I don't know if they are limiting capacity from the pictures that you sent, and I've got a lot of friends down there who go down and they'll send me reports. They say it's packed. They say it's crowded. Mm. So maybe capacity is at 100%. And if that's the case, then what's the difference between this year and 3 or 4 years ago when they didn't have a park reservation system? You know? And despite the park reservation system, there are long lines. Michelle and I were talking about the potential trips we have this year and talking about the park reservation system, and you can actually go crazy trying to figure out, okay, I'd like to, you know, divide the parks into and make sure that we are even with the parks, that we visit this park so much. Oh, we get to visit Epcot in the morning a couple of times, Magic Kingdom in the morning, Animal Kingdom in the studios. And it's very frustrating because you're trying to figure it out and you just throw your hands up and you say, wait a minute, what if we wake up and we don't want to go to studios that morning? We're locked in. Mm. So I said to Michelle, why even bother making a park reservation? Make it on the morning that you're going to go, or make it the night before when you know you're going to go. I don't like the idea that how is that trying to control where the guests go. They're trying. When you mentioned the Genie Plus stuff and the Lightning Lane stuff, well, you can't go at this time, but you can go at that time. Well, maybe I don't want you to tell me when I can go. I want to say when I want to go. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to have a long line, then I'm not going to go, you know?
So is there any attraction that you would pay for, either one of you?
There is no attraction that I would pay for. And you can...
I would pay for Mickey and Minnie's.
And let me also add to that, I would not stay in line for more than 30 minutes for any attraction presently in Walt Disney World. Hmm. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Well, I basically my wife told me we're not paying extra for anything. One of the mornings we went, the boys wanted to do the Avatar ride. And we knew we had to get in early, so we got up early. The problem was, here's the other problem. We knew we had to get to the park early, and we got up early. Everybody got ready. We were out at the bus station and waited. We were waiting 25 minutes to get a bus. And finally, we were so like, we're going to miss our chance for early magic hours. Like, so like, I'm talking like, we got everybody up at 6 a.m. We were out at like 6:30, whatever it was. We were down at the bus stop waiting. Finally, there wasn't even a bellhop at the stand. I had to walk out into the parking lot to the taxi cab that was sitting there and said, I need to get a ride. And he said, okay, jump in and I'll pull around and get your family. We went around, got my family. We ran there. By the time we got there, it was already a 35-minute wait to get onto Avatar. I can't imagine. There were other families that were waiting. I knew they were waiting for Avatar. Like they, Magic Kingdom bus came by, went by. They all didn't get on. I knew they were going in the Animal Kingdom. I mean, there's no Yacht Club. It's either if you're going to Hollywood Studios, you're walking or taking the boat. If you're going to Disney Springs, you're taking the bus, but that bus wasn't really coming. You know, it was Animal Kingdom or Magic Kingdom, and they just were waiting. And I said, these people waited, and I knew they were going to go. They wanted to go right to that ride, and they were going to miss out. Like, they were going to wind up having to wait at least an hour and a half. It's untenable. And I think that article that you sent is like, they're just looking to make more. It's a rich person's park now. Like, if you don't want to wait, if you want to go see things, it's money. That's it. I hope it'll change. I don't know. But we did not pay for any additional rides. So, and you said you would go, Michelle, you said you would do on Mickey. We actually didn't go see it this time. We didn't see the Runaway Row. It's too long a wait every single time.
I think I would pay for that. But then I don't want to be part of the problem.
How much would you pay, though?
$10.
Just for one ride?
But yeah, but I've heard of people waking up at 7 and getting their time is 4:30 in the morning, you know, 4:30 in the afternoon. And
yeah. Well, that's on the other
once
problem.
I'm up, I'm up. And then when I'm on vacation, you know, I don't want the stress. I have enough stress in my life.
Well, I was going to say,
I don't want the other stress.
That was the other thing is like everybody in the park is staring at their phones. I remember walking through the parks and looking around and, you know, and being like, oh, look at this. And no, look at, you don't even look at the surroundings anymore. You're looking at your phone because you got to get the next thing. And, you know, and it's so hard to, like, it's stressful to try and figure out what's the next attraction you're going on.
You know, I said that.
And we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I said I wouldn't pay, but let me just add a little caveat to that. Mm-hmm. And this might be something that, you know, if they increased the hourly wage of the cast members to, I don't know, between $15 and $20 an hour, and I knew that my purchase of a Lightning Lane pass went towards paying those cast members what they should be being paid, I might actually do it. But
I will say for this trip, you know, every cast member there was wonderful. Like I to a person, they were amazing, helpful, thoughtful, caring. They understood the situation. I definitely think they deserve much more than they're getting.
Yeah, I mean, I keep thinking that all this money is going to pay for Bob Chapek's
ching
raise.
I'm not editing in a bunch of like cash register sounds in this episode, but now you know what, look, like I said, we enjoyed our vacation. I know we kind of ended on a kind of negative note with all of this stuff, but it was something that we noticed throughout, but we're choosing not to do. And we went there and enjoyed ourselves as a family, and that's the problem. I could enjoy myself with my family. Like, we already, like, my wife was just like, okay, guys, Bermuda or Bahamas over the summer. Where are we going? Because we're not doing Disney this year. And they were like, fine by me.
Well, you have to be careful because every other day the CDC says, don't go to this Caribbean island.
I know. Yeah. Well, again, as time goes on, we'll have to figure it out. But yeah. Yeah. But we did notice it as we were going through, like, you know, like, oh, this kind of stinks. Like, you know, like I missed the point where we'd be walking by, you know, pirates, or, you know, you'd be walking by even what's the Mexican ride? We actually we waited online for that Mexican ride, like whatever it's called, the Three Caballeros thing. Michelle's not going to remember. What is it called, Michelle?
Oh, I love that ride, though.
Three Caballeros. Grand,
not Grand Fiesta.
It's called the Mexico ride.
Grand Fiesta Tour.
Grand Fiesta, yeah, it is.
Is that what it's called now, or is that what the old tour? No, but whatever. But like, even that, even that one had a line, you know? I know, we don't know anything, as everybody tells us who said the messages. But you know, look, again, we had a nice time despite all the problems that Disney is providing, because we just didn't deal with them. We just didn't want to deal with them. So, trying to think if there were any other events or things that we did that was like, oh, but I don't think there was. I mean, you know, I missed out on the Figment popcorn bucket.
Chris, do you want to make any? You want to comment briefly on either Harmonious or Disney Enchantment?
Oh yeah, so God, good call. I did not see the Magic Kingdom show, but we did Harmonious. I did it a couple times, like I think three times. My thoughts are this: Harmonious is the Nickelodeon to PBS's Masterpiece Theater for Illuminations.
Oh.
I felt like
good triad analogies there, Chris.
Yeah, right. I'm trying. but here's the thing. So I felt no emotional connection to it because it wasn't telling a story. I felt like it wasn't a park-centric attraction or a light show. What it was is ham-handedly hitting on people's emotions, and just sort of blasting out the greatest hits, and then just like, okay, but everybody was falling for it. Everybody was dancing. Everybody was with their kids, and they were happy-go-lucky. So it works in that sense. So it's not a great storytelling device, but it gives everybody, you know, sort of the sugar.
All the feels.
Yeah, it gives them the sugar instead of the spinach they should be eating. So maybe we'll go back and talk about that one in greater detail. I feel like we've gone on way too long on this one. So what do you say? Do you want to?
What day is it?
I know. It's like we're already on, like, it's already next week. The snowstorm has already come and passed.
Yeah.
So, what do you say? You want to wrap it up? Is there anything else that we need to figure out before we, you know what? We'll just keep it for the next show, right?
Yeah. Next show, we talk about a lot of things that are going to be coming up. There's some announcements that I think people will be interested in. A couple of things that are coming back. March is going to be a big month, so we can talk about that next time.
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, thank you for indulging me babbling on endlessly about my vacation. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of Mickey Miles and More. If you want to reach out to us, send us a message on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. For Dr. S, the Dean of Disney, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road and in the park.
Class dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.